May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Hanukkah is mentioned only once in the ministry of Jesus, and it's taken from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 33. Where it is called the Feast of Dedication. Since this year, Hanukkah happened between December 12th and 20th, I decided to preach on this message of Jesus and Hanukkah. Jesus was there celebrating. Only the words he spoke that day are enough to make jaws drop, and on that occasion, in that place where he speaks them. And so I'd like to go over first the history of Hanukkah and its background and what Jesus said on that day that caused such controversy. First, the history of Hanukkah and its story as a background to John chapter 10. Hanukkah was never commanded by God in Scripture, at least the Old Testament Scriptures, and yet Jesus Christ celebrated this day, this holy day, and made some amazing and astounding claims on it. While this is a Jewish holiday, and I'm certainly not making a plug to celebrate it, yet we ought to know its history on this day in light of Christ's celebration of this day and what he taught on it. So let's look at the backstory of Hanukkah. Hanukkah celebrates the Jewish victory over a Greek king who went into the temple and claimed to be God. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV, and he was a Greek ruler and king of Syria over the land of Palestine. And he began his reign to turn the nation of the Jewish people to turn back into Greek worship of Greek rulers. As time goes on, Antiochus begins to have delusions of his own grandeur. And so he sets up statues of the Greek gods and made those statues look like himself. He gave himself the title Epiphanes, which means God on display. Finally, Antiochus makes a shocking move that no Greek ruler had ever gone so far as to do, and that was to force the Jewish people to worship him. In the past, others had tried to get Jews to worship additional gods. Antiochus was the first who tried to exterminate the Jewish people. He ordered the Jewish religion to be replaced with Greek religion, and he ordered an end to the Sabbath and the other Jewish festivals. And to beat it all, he sacrificed pigs on the altar within Jerusalem. And he ordered Greek idols to be set up throughout the land. And he sent the word out, whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. The king's command are carried out, and in mid-December 167 BC, the Jewish temple gets rededicated to the Greek god Zeus. A statue of Zeus, made to look like the Greek king himself, gets set up in the temple. Pigs are offered in sacrifice, and the sacred courts are filled with Greek partying and sacred ground. This was the first defiling of the temple spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Possession of the scriptures becomes a crime punishable by death. One congregation is burned alive for secretly observing the Sabbath. This was a cruel and intense persecution. Finally, the entire population is lined up in that town and forced to eat pork. Some refuse and some are brutally beaten to death. At last, some people in one small village resist the king's orders. An official from the king comes down to force them to perform a Greek sacrifice. He invites an old priest by the name of Matthias to do the honors. When the priest refuses, another Jew steps forward to perform the sacrifice. But before he can do so, the old priest rises up and kills both the Jew who tried to take his place and the official from the king. He tears down the Greek altar and cries out, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law of God follow me." And he and his sons flee into the hills and fight a guerrilla war against the Greeks. One of the old man's sons, named Judah, takes over as leader of the rebels. Judah proves to be such a powerful man in battle that they nickname him Judas Maccabeus. Maccabeus for the word the hammer. So Judas the hammer leads this crowd, this band of Jewish guerrillas. And after a number of surprising victories where he and his men were the underdogs, Judas Maccabeus drives the Greeks out of the temple and recaptures the holy city. Then they cut down the bushes that had grown in the temple courtyard, repaired the ruined chambers of the priests, get rid of the idols, and rebuild the altar of the Lord. Finally, one morning in mid-December, 164 BC, exactly 3 years after the Greeks had defiled the temple, Judas and his followers offer sacrifice on the new altar and rededicate the newly cleansed temple. Now, I know us as Gentiles don't know a lot about that. That's why he gave us the backstory. They hold this 8-day celebration, now called the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, which is what the word means. Hanukkah stands for dedication. Today, the Jews light candles for each of the 8 days of this holiday. This year, Hanukkah was celebrated from December 12th to the 20th. During this time, the Jewish people also exchange presents, much as we do on Christmas. And so Hanukkah was a patriotic holiday, an Independence Day of sorts, a day in which the Jews give thanks to God that God had set them free from this terrible ruler, Antiochus, who tried to exterminate their faith. This brings me to my second point, which is the message of Jesus Christ in the context of Hanukkah. And he has some very amazing things to say on this day. Our Lord's message on this day is one in which he makes three statements about his identity. First of all, that he is the Messiah. At a festival like Hanukkah, where the people were asking, "When will our Messiah appear?" it only makes sense for the crowd to ask Jesus in John 10:24, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus responds to their question and says, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me." The Lord explicitly answers yes to the question, "Are you the Messiah?" Both his words and his works, and I take his works to mean his miracles, affirm his identity as Messiah. This theme of Jesus' words and miraculous works go hand in hand in affirming his identity as Messiah. John's gospel, in fact, is set up in such a way that he reminds us of the signs that Jesus performed, beginning with his turning the water into wine at Cana. And he has a series of 7 signs in which he shows that he is Messiah. The Apostle John had already written and recorded many of Jesus' miracles in this gospel, such as the changing of the water into wine and the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and other miraculous signs such as walking on water. All of these miracles announce and reveal Christ's authority as Messiah. The Lord Jesus refers to his miracles to the Jewish leaders, which verify that he is Messiah, God's anointed king, and his only begotten son who inaugurates and ushers in God's kingdom. Secondly, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Jesus acknowledges that he is the good shepherd in the fullest sense of being a shepherd that only God can claim. What I mean by this is, while leaders in Israel were sometimes called shepherds of Israel, such as in Ezekiel 34, Jesus claims for himself tasks that only God can do. The Lord says of himself in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." In saying these things, let us take note of what tasks Jesus says that he is doing. He gives eternal life to his sheep. Only God can do that. No prophet, no king in Israel would ever make a claim that he gave eternal life to his people. Jesus also says of himself that he protects his people, and no one can take them out of his hand. Again, only God can claim to do that. And further, Jesus says of God the Father that Christ's followers and believers are in the Father's hand, and no one is greater than the Father. And no one can take a sheep out of the Father's hand either. Since Jesus said the same thing about protecting his sheep, it can be affirmed that he also is almighty. No mere human can give eternal life, nor can they legitimately say that they protect believers' salvation. Jesus says these things, and his promise is true, not just because he made these claims, but he backs them up by his miraculous power. In fact, in this chapter 10 of John, he says about himself, "I lay down my life only to take it up again." He claims to have authority over death and life itself. In making these claims about what he is able to do, it is clear that Jesus is claiming to be God. So when we read passages like Psalm 23, it is fair to view Jesus as the Good Shepherd. For he says that about himself again in this very chapter of John 10, that he is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. A last claim that Jesus makes, and a final aspect of his message on Hanukkah, is that he claims to be God in John 10:30. "I and the Father are one." The plural verb "are" indicates two distinct persons while confirming a continuous unity. Jesus reveals himself to be fully God. He is one with the Father in nature and essence. And the Jews clearly understood what he was talking about. They recognized Jesus was making a claim of divinity, and they picked up stones to kill him. You can hear the crowd gasp. They've asked him a question. He gave them answers. And the only answer that they hear from him sounds downright blasphemous. John brings out the utmost in irony. On that day when they were celebrating victory over a king who claimed to be God a couple hundred years ago, Antiochus Epiphanes, here Jesus stands up during this very celebration and says, "I and the Father are one." And for Jews who don't believe that about Jesus, he seems like another Antiochus. No, Jesus doesn't mean one with God in some metaphoric or symbolic sense. He means that he is God. And his audience understood him correctly, which is why they picked up stones to stone him. Jesus asked them, "Why?" "Because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God," they say to him. Jesus doesn't say, I'm sorry, guys, you misunderstood me. I wasn't really claiming to be God. No, he defends himself. But his argument fails to convince the crowd, and only by slipping out of their hands does Jesus at that time escape a violent end. Jesus neither trashes nor disrespects anyone. He claims to be the real God on display, as opposed to the fake one driven out by the Maccabean family. And so on this day, when the Jewish people celebrate their national independence and freedom from idolatry, Jesus confronts them with the claim that he is the true deliverer of Israel. He is the one sent by God, and he is one with God. What Jesus says at Hanukkah is a very clear expression that he is fully God. Jesus is who he says he was, the one God who is on display, the only one who can save us from sin and death. So in this season, when Israel celebrates their victory over an individual, a king who tried to stamp out their faith, as they celebrate the feast of rededication, let us rededicate ourselves to Jesus as Messiah, as Shepherd of Israel, as the God on display. Let us welcome Jesus as the one who rules with justice, with wisdom, and with redeeming love, the one who can save us and put us right with God. That is the message of Jesus Christ on this day. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has graciously given us your Son and has revealed his true identity, that he came among us, grant that the light of the gospel of your Son may shine in our hearts and lives. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen.